Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. We are continuing in our new series that we're doing on Wednesday nights that we have together on Christian liberty. Christian liberty. And after you found Galatians 5, if you would turn, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 28. And just keep a finger there because we're going to be there in just a few moments. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And then we're going to come back to our passage here in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5 and verse 1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the," say it please, "liberty, wherewith Christ hath made us free." Now, understand the realm of that liberty. The realm of that liberty is wherewith Christ has made us free. So who defines the parameters of that liberty? Christ does. This is the forgotten teaching. Oh, we have liberty. I can do whatever I want to do. I've got liberty. Oh, no, 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 no. You don't have liberty to do whatever you want to do. You have liberty to do what Christ pleases, because He's the one that has set the parameters. "And be not again entangled with the yoke of bondage." Now, the book of Galatians was written to those that were trying to bring people back under the bondage of the law. These Judaizers that had risen up and had come behind the Apostle Paul as he had planted churches and had come to the church of Galatians and said, "Oh, that man, he's teaching error. You've got to keep the Ten Commandments in order to be a true Israelite, a believer. You've got to follow the law and all the jot and tittle of the law." Oh, no. In Jesus Christ, He fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law. "Therefore, I am free from the bondage of the law, because it's been perfectly kept in Christ." So what do? I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And once I am put in Him, I have His righteousness. I have His law keeping, because He kept it perfectly. You see, most people don't even know what Christian liberty is all about. They love to throw around this term, legalism. Legalism. Now, that word means almost the same thing as Christian liberty. And for everybody that says those words, they have their own definition. I'm trying to bring us back to the Bible truth of Christian liberty and what legalism is. Legalism is you have to keep the law in order to be saved. That's legalism, biblically defined. But today, legalism means making us follow all these laws and commandments and stuff. That's legalism. No, it's not. Legalism has to do with salvation. Christian liberty has to do with sanctification. Don't confuse the two. They don't have anything to do with each other. Whenever you have this idea that I have to keep the law to be saved, that's legalism. Christian liberty has to do with my life after salvation. How do I live? What does it mean to have liberty in Jesus Christ? So we want to anchor our souls in the Word. Now notice verse 13, because verse 1 and verse 13 go together. Notice how it begins. "For." So it relates back actually to the first verse. What that theme was. "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty only. Use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Now we get further information about this liberty. This liberty is not to be used for my flesh, but rather my liberty is to be used to serve you. Everyone here, my brothers and sisters in Christ, my Christian liberty given to me by the precious Lord Jesus Christ is not for me to just do whatever I want to do to serve the flesh, but rather to serve you, to be your servant out of love. Now, do you think that most people have that concept when it comes to Christian liberty? Oh, no. I've got Christian liberty. I can do whatever I want to do. I can listen to whatever I want to listen to. I can go wherever I want to go. I can dress how I want to dress. I can drink whatever I want to drink because I have Christian liberty. That is total and complete ignorance of the Word of God. Because this passage of Scripture makes it very clear. Who sets the parameters of Christian liberty that I'm to stand in? The Lord Jesus Christ. How has He communicated that? In His precious Word. Now we're going to talk about some of the things that are not, specifically addressed. But your anchor is in the Word of God. The principles are there to understand how I'm to live the Christian life. The problem is ignorance of the Word of God. Lack of diligence, due diligence to understand. In legal terms, ignorance of the law is no excuse. I can say, well, I didn't know that there was a law against murder. Do you think that's going to fly with a judge? You think a judge is going to say, oh, okay. You didn't know there was a law against murder? Okay, well, you're innocent then. You can go your way. No. If you're convicted by a jury of your peers, you're going to jail. It doesn't matter whether you have an ignorance of the law. Oh, Mr. Officer, I didn't know that I was supposed to be going 55 and I was doing 95. I didn't see the sign. Well, probably it was because it was a blur as you went by. You probably didn't see it. How does ignorance work with a police officer that's pulled you over? Does that work? I was talking to a lady in the hallway this afternoon who got a ticket recently, and she was saying, I can't believe it, I got a ticket. I haven't gotten a ticket in years. And she said, I was not paying attention. I was zippity-doo-dah down Berry Hill Road, and there was a police officer sitting right there, pulled in right behind her, boop! She pulled into Sitco. And he wrote her a nice ticket. Okay? Now, no excuses. Officer, I just wasn't paying attention. I'm really sorry. There's your gift. All right? Now, ignorance of the law is not an excuse. Now, let's take it into the Christian realm. Ignorance of the Word of God is not a get-out-of-jail card for you. You don't have liberty to decide whatever you want to decide. As a child of God, you have liberty to do whatever pleases Christ. And that's not a confining liberty. That's wonderful. To know that God has given me the parameters of my liberty and I need to seek out what He wants me to do. So this is very important. Your definition of Christian liberty will make all the difference in the world on how you live in this world until the Lord comes or He takes you home. Your definition of Christian liberty. I didn't always have that understanding, but the more I've studied this passage, the more I realize that your definition will dictate how you live. Because it's all based on what is the realm that has been laid out by Christ in His Word. And some people draw a line here, and some people will draw a line over here, and some people, but why? Because what enters into the factor because of our sinful heart? It's the me factor. My opinion. Alright? We like to opine on what God set as a parameter. Now there is latitude, and we're going to talk about that. The latitude of the parameters that God has given. We're going to look at examples from God's Word. Things that came up in the New Testament, Old Testament, where we're going to see those parameters that sometimes were stretched, and sometimes we're going to see things that we would not think would be so, whereby man sinned and yet God used it for His glory. He took the wrath of men and turned it around to praise Him, but they were still accountable for what they did. All right? So, let's go to our passage in Deuteronomy because I want to give you some thoughts tonight. We're not going to get very far in our study tonight because we want to have plenty of time for prayer. But I want you to look at verse 29. I want to lay the foundation, if I may, the foundation for understanding Christian liberty. What is the foundation? Look at verse 29 of chapter 29 in Deuteronomy. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto whom? Us. So understand, two things have been mentioned here. Do you see it in the Scripture? There are secret things, and there are things that have been what?
revealed. The things which have been revealed belong to us. But there are some things that we don't know. Let me just bring a quick illustration. Here's a young man, and he likes two girls. And he seeks the Lord's favor. Lord, I just don't know. Which one? Which one? They're both sweet girls, and maybe they're godly girls. I just don't know. And he seeks the Lord's face. Now, is that a thing that's been revealed yet? No. You know, I look back over my life, and there were some possibilities in the past. And I know that's hard to believe. Todd Brainerd had some actual possibilities back then. Yeah, I had one in high school. And I thought, this is the one for me. And then I found out that wasn't the one for me. And there were some other ones that came along. I told you about the one that wrote me, sent me a letter over Christmas, sent me a Christmas card, said, I can't wait for you to get back to school. Okay? She had a bad case of senioritis. She was going to graduate in May. And she said, I can't wait to see you get back to school. And I told my mom and dad, I said, I think that there's some issues here. What should I do? I said, well, if you don't think this is the right one, write her a letter back. And tell her. So I wrote her back and I said, it'd be nice to see you at school, but I'm not going there. She had a boyfriend 1 month later on and was walking around with a ring. Okay? She found him. All right? I took a girl on a date my senior year. I asked a girl in the music department, I said, would you like to go to the artist series? And she said, yes. I was shocked, almost passed out right there at the moment. So I got there, and we go down, sit down to watch the play. And she looks at me and she says, I'm never leaving the state of Pennsylvania. And I looked at her and I said, wait a minute. I said, we're in South Carolina right now. What are you talking about? I said, you left Pennsylvania to come here. All right, you're going 4 years here, right? She said, oh, no, I don't mean that. I'm never leaving the Pennsylvania. I'm going to marry me a guy from Pennsylvania. Now, she immediately was putting up the sign, you're not it. All right? And you know, I'm pretty dumb. I'm not very smart. But that night, as I was walking her back, I realized and knew she's not leaving the state of Pennsylvania. And I didn't know where God was going to lead me, to be honest with you. I've said this many, many times. I was supposed to go to Atlanta, Georgia in January of 1987 to candidate up in a church up in Atlanta for music director. And God had other plans. He wanted me here. So I didn't know where I was going to be, but I had learned growing up Dr. Hobbs' teaching. You don't tell God when and where you're going to go. He tells you. That was pretty simple. And I had an opportunity to tell her. I said, you know, God may have something else for you. You know, mission fields are outside of Pennsylvania. God may have you to be a missionary. Are you open to that? No. You know, and you know, I think she just said something just to end it with me. That was fine. I figured that out real quick. I want to tell you something, folks. You need to listen to this. This is very, very important. There are two understandings in this world. There are the things which God has withheld with us, either temporarily or will show us when we get to heaven. And then there are those things that He has clearly revealed in His Word. Now, some people spend all their time trying to figure out all these things over here. Some people say, I've got special revelation. I know what God wants me to do. I'm to marry Jane instead of so-and-so. All right? Well, you know, God works with His children. God works in a special way with His children to clarify and to show you what you ought to do. It was very clear to me on January the 18th, 1987, that God wanted me here. Because that night, I got home from Bob Jones on a Sunday evening. Dr. Hobbs called me and said, is there any way you can come and teach? One of our teachers resigned tonight. Can you come in and teach? And I said, Dr. Hobbs, I'm supposed to go to Atlanta. And he said, well, we'll work that out. We'll work it out. You know who worked it out? God did. I got another phone call. It was from the pastor. Called me and said, Todd, we don't need you to come. At church tonight, we called a music director. You don't need to come. Thank you, though. Appreciate that. And you know what? That was an answer from heaven for me. This is where I want you to be. And this is where God has put me. Now, that wasn't in the revealed category over here. It was over here in this area. The secrets of the Lord belong to Him. I didn't know. I just did not know where to go. But you know what God did? He showed me. He showed me. And it was a few years down the road where He showed me who I was supposed to marry. Beth Turner from the state of Maine. Okay? And the northest, farther reaches I'd ever gone was probably what? I guess as a child, it took me to New York City. That was as far as I had been at that particular point. But God brought us together. God had been working in her heart and been working in my heart, brought us together. Listen, folks, this area over here, the secret things that belong to God, can be a very broad area. But in this area, you have to be so, so careful that you don't run ahead of God. All right? That you don't start deciding things on your own without consulting with your Father. Getting with Him. He said, well, we don't need to bother the Lord. He's given us liberty. He's given us liberty. I can just do whatever I want to do. No. As His child, it's our privilege to pray and go to Him and say, Lord, I don't know who I'm going to marry. Now, we're praying for our children. Who would You have them, Lord? We're just turning them over to You to direct in their lives. And we have prayed and we've seen one answer to prayer, Lord willing. We'll see Gregory. I got to find him. Gregory and Devin, Lord willing, will be getting married sometime. Hint, hint. And no pressure. But, you know, trusting God in those areas that you just don't know. You just don't know. 23 years ago, we were praying for something that would happen 23 years later. Now, is that something that is weird or out of line for the Christian? Absolutely not. This is the realm that we call Christian liberty. All right? It's freedom from the law, but freedom to do what pleases Christ. Now, we're going to be laying out principles from God's Word about this realm right here. We know there are certain things, and some people have a real problem with this area over here, the things revealed. Some people have a real problem with that. Well, I don't want to have to do that. And yet God's clearly shown principles by which we're to live, and He's clearly said things about how we're to live, and we have to follow the Word of God, the commands of Scripture that are given. But there's also those secret things that are with the Lord. I think about, we've honored several of our couples in our church over the last several years. And I've said this many, many times. We are a blessed church. We've got couples like the Smiths here, been married now, 53 years now? 53 years. Bill Pagers, you've been married for 55 years. All right. The Woods, 70 years. Now, you're not supposed to do it in dog years. You're supposed to do it in human years. How many years? 60 years. You know what? Let's go back. My mom and dad, 54 years. Yeah. And I could go through others. I don't want to skip anybody. We got the... goodness. I was trying to think. We just celebrated it not too long ago. How many years? 52? 51 years? All right. The Elkins. Now, you think about it. Let's go back in time, 60 years ago. Mr. Woods, seeking a mate. 60 years ago. Who's the Lord going to direct in his life? All right? Who would be the person that would be right by his side for 60 years? And how God brought those two together. And brought them together, both of them, with a burden for Christian education. Taught in Christian schools in Hawaii, Colorado, Florida. All right? Now, I'm going to put Mr. Woods on the spot. All right? Was there prayer involved?
Prayer?
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Seeking the Lord's face. It was in that area, right? Secret things belong to the Lord. I don't know. I don't know who. But God directed, and they've been together side by side for 60 years. And for all the others that are here, that God has blessed during that time and blessing. You see, folks, it's in this area that we live. And if you're not seeking God's face about the decisions of life, you're going to mess this whole area up. It's like a kid that doesn't keep the room clean. All right? I have to get on the kids all the time in class to drop a piece of paper on the floor and walk off. Hey, come pick it up. You know? Yeah, that's trash in the floor. We don't do that. You don't write on your desk. Making a mess of things. Well, I have liberty. No, you don't. Well, I can leave a piece of paper on the floor if I want to. Well, that's what society says. But that's not what the Bible says. I have liberty to do what pleases Christ. And if you don't get that understanding, young people, I'm talking to you tonight. You don't get this understanding, you will make a mess of your life. You'll make a mess of your life. Again, the lady that got the ticket, she was telling about her husband. They had gone to high school together. She despised him. He ended up leaving their high school and going to another high school over in Gulf Breeze. Graduated from there. She graduated from Navarre. He got into trouble. Ended up going to church and met her again. He got saved. She got saved. And they got married. Their lives were transformed by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she was sharing today, you know, it's amazing what God can do when He changes. He said, that boy that I despised in high school is my husband today, and I love him to death. He's not the same person that he was in high school, the one that was always in trouble. But when he got saved, everything changed. All right? God led them together. And she said, our moms, now you want to know how important it is, grandparents and parents, to be praying for each other? Our moms had been praying all the while that we would both get saved. His mom was praying for him. Her mom was praying for her that God would be working. Secret things that belong to God are areas of prayer. Areas of unknowns. How's the Lord going to supply this need? How's the Lord going to get us a bus? Oh, we've been praying for years for a bus. We've got one that's going to be coming, Lord willing. God's providing in a remarkable way. Unknown areas. Christian liberty. I'm going to do what I want to do. Oh, no. You misunderstand. There are things that are secret that you have to seek God's face about. And then there are things about that He has revealed in His Word that you've got to search out and dig out and get anchored, your soul anchored into. So in those areas, you do the right thing. You're not anchored here, you'll be unanchored there. You'll just be drifting. Folks, this is the basis. This is the understanding of Christian liberty. Those two areas. There are some things that are secret. We don't know the answers to them. We don't know right now what God has in store. And then there are things that are set that you can anchor your soul to in the Word. Anchor your soul here. God will help you here. That's the beauty of Deuteronomy 29:29. They belong to us. We've got to be anchored there before we can understand here. You're not anchored there. You're just going to do all kinds of stuff and things will fall apart over time because you were not anchored there. So Deuteronomy 29:29 is a very strong foundation for where we're going to be going, and we're going to stop there because we need to go to the Lord in prayer. But I hope as we lay this foundation, the revealed will of God in Scripture, and then His providential will. We're going to be talking about that because that has a lot to do with this matter of Christian liberty and people's thinking getting all muddled up. All right? God's revealed will and God's providential will. And hopefully we can help you to understand and strengthen, especially our young people. I'm concerned for our young people, our children, our teenagers. Those will be going off to college soon. Those will be getting out of high school. If you're not anchored to the Word of God, you'll be lost. You'll be lost. We'll be adding you to our prayer list beyond just God's guidance in your life. Anchor your soul to the precious Word of God, the things that are revealed And then God will show you the secret things. The Lord revealeth the secret things unto them that fear Him, the psalmist tells us. He reveals the secret things to those who fear Him. How do you fear God? Fear God and keep His commandments. Anchor your soul to the Word.